Now, we're going to look at the second reading, which is from the letter to the Hebrews. We've already touched on this a bit. It's the opening lines, the first six verses of Hebrews, where the whole, like in the prologue of John, which will be our gospel, it sets the stage. Huh? Now, this writer, you know, nobody knows who he is. Everybody guesses. He is a scripture scholar. I mean, he's Jewish. He's got to be, because he knows the Hebrew scriptures by heart. Everything he knows. One priest, very sophisticated. Someone said somewhere, and he quotes Psalm 8, like, he doesn't know what Psalm 8, don't kid yourself. You know? But that's just the way, the very sophisticated way of saying, someone said somewhere, and then, what is man that you were mindful of him? Well, we even know that Psalm 8. But this man who wrote this, you see, and again, it's in a very intricate and different style than Paul. That's why I think all the fathers of the church knew. They said, Paul didn't write this. And so, could have been Apollos, because he had a reputation for being very learned in the scriptures and very eloquent. Could have been. Finally, Origen says, as regard to the author, only God knows. And so, but we're very indebted to him wherever he is, because it's a beautiful, beautiful gift, this letter to the Hebrews. When I was a student under Cardinal Vanois, he wasn't a cardinal then, he was just Professor Father Vanois, we did a whole semester just on Hebrews 10. And it was just so fascinating. I'm so glad we went slow, because then I went and did the rest myself. So if you haven't ever studied Hebrews, you're in for a treat. Pick it up, read it, and have a good, simple commentary when you get stuck. Okay. The basic thing he's going to say is, God spoke. But God spoke in his Son, which means he spoke in the death and resurrection of his Son. And the model he has in mind is Yom Kippur, when the high priest goes through the veil and into the Holy of Holies. And he says Jesus did that. He went through the veil of his own flesh and went into the heavenlies and presented himself there as the victim. The Yom Kippur victim. Sprinkled so that the propitiatory is sprinkled with his blood. What we have here now is the incarnation, the opening lines. And again, you know, the heavenly existence, the earthly existence, and the regained heavenly existence, never lost, but this time the humanity of Christ, Jesus, all of Jesus goes to heaven because he received that body from Mary and it's with him for eternity. Okay, enough warm-up. We better start the text. Polymeros ki polytropos. Here it is. On many occasions and in many ways, in times past, God, we finally get to the subject of the sentence, you see. Many occasions, many ways, in times past, pale, hoteos, God. Spoke, where having spoken is okay, to the fathers through the prophets. Now, at the end of days, these days, he spoke to us in a son. Now, this phrase, Baharit Yamim, the end of days, is a prophetic line. It says the Old Testament view of time. We're going along like this in the days. Then they end. And on another level, new days begin. That point, where the end of days, going to new days, that's the Messianic age. That's the definitive work of God to bring us back to himself. And so, it's a very Jewish phrase. It comes in the book of Daniel, comes frequently in the prophets. And so, having spoken to the fathers by the prophets, at the end of these days, spoke to us in a son. Now who is this Son? Whom he established as heir of all things. That makes him the son of Abraham. God promised Abraham all things. But now it's his son, through whom he also made the ages. This is like John, right? We'll save that for when we say all things were made through him, the Logos, in John. You see? Now we have this description of him, okay? Os on opavgasma, who being the radiance of his glory and the imprint of his being. The radiance of his glory, the radiance part, opavgasma, comes from the book of wisdom. You'd expect that because this is wisdom literature we're dealing with. Now let's see, depending on which Bible you're in, wisdom will always be back with these folks somewhere. I want you to, if I can find it easily, after the Psalms. See, the Bibles, you don't mean I noticed this, but the Bibles don't have the books in the same order. So you can get confused. The Hebrew Bible goes the Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ketuvim. The Torah, the prophets, and then the writings. Psalms and all that. Nehemiah and all that. The the Christian Bible goes the Torah, then the writings, then the Psalms. They want the Psalms to prepare for the New Testament. So they have a different order. Might not have noticed that. But if you do sometime, you'll see what I'm saying. Therefore, you see, because her splendor never yields to sleep. This is the book of wisdom, you see. And I rejoiced because wisdom is the leader. Though I had not known that she is the mother of all these, all insight, all understanding, all correct conduct, wisdom is the mother. You see? The source of life. So, wisdom is the radiance of his glory and the imprint of his substance. Okay? Now try to imagine this, huh? Here is a big spotlight. There's the spotlight and there's the light. They're not the same, are they? You could turn the spotlight off, you know, but they're inseparable. You can't have a spotlight on without having light, right? So he is this radiance, this apavgasma that this text talks about. He's the radiance, you see, of his glory. And he is the imprint of his being, you see. Charakter. Charakter in Greek means imprint. He's describing the relationship between the Son and the Father. He's different, but he's the same. He's the radiance of the spotlight, the searchlight, whatever you want. He's the radiance of it. Well, you can't separate the radiance from the light, but you can. And then he is the imprint of his substance, huh? The very character. If I took my ring and I had a piece of wax here and I went like this, exact same thing would be there. But it's not the exact same thing as here and there. You see how they rise to these things, and with the help of the book of wisdom, rise to this describing wisdom. Because it's wisdom who walks among us, who talks to us, you see? And so, and then bearing all things with the word of his might, you see, and having worked the purification of sin, katharismon, how do you get rid of sin? Sacrifice. So he worked the purification of sins, and then took his seat at the right hand of the power on high. You see that same rhythm. Glory, come down, work the forgiveness of sins, and then take his seat at the right hand of the glory. That's Jesus. But it's very important, especially on this incarnational day, when we're celebrating the birth of God among us. The very Word of God, God of God, light from light, true God from true God. We're celebrating that. And so we have these texts which describe this heavenly, earthly, heavenly existence. But the text goes on, you see. This is daring, this next part. Having become as greater than the angels, as the name he has inherited is greater than theirs. How does he become greater than the angels? He's God. God doesn't become anything, huh? Except in his humanity. In his humanity, he can walk from here to there. He can go from being 10 years old to being 30 years old. So, having brought about the forgiveness of sins, that's an aorist, done. Then he took his seat, you see, at the right hand of the power on high. When you're praying this, let your imagination go. You know, like, just think of the antiphons that we have at the Ascension. The angels are singing, dancing, clapping. Here comes Jesus, our God. Never renouncing his humanity, he comes and he sits where he belongs, at the right hand of the Father, still in his humanity. That's the wonder. As you see? For of which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, this day I have begotten you"? You see, that line comes from Psalm 2, verse 7. And it says, you see, "You are my son, this day I have begotten you." Why do the nations rage and against the Lord? You see, that line, I'll tell you what I'll read for you, that might help. Acts 13, somewhere there, I think it's 7, it won't be hard to find. Paul is giving a speech in Antioch in Pisidia, huh? God raised him. Where does it say this? God raised him from the dead according to the psalm. This psalm, you see? For the New Testament writers and the whole New Testament tradition sit at my right hand. That comes from a psalm, an enthronement psalm. It was sung as the new king mounted his throne and became in a special way the Son of God. Not, you know, equal to God and all the rest, but a special way. For Jesus rose from the dead, you see. He took his seat at the right hand of God. That means he's enthroned. There's another text you might like. It's the letter to the Romans, very first chapter. I hope they translate it okay. You know, when you have to translate the whole Bible sometimes. Okay. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, you say, through the gospel, established as Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness through resurrection from the dead. You see? The same notion. Okay. So now we only got a few more lines to go. So that is a classic text. And then The father says, "I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son." And so, when he now leads the firstborn into the empire, he says, and there's another quote from another psalm, that all the angels adore him. That's watching Jesus regain, in his humanity, his divine dignity. Amen.